2 Timothy 1, and 5, the Spirit of God through Paul said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in you, it dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, some pronounce this Eunice, some of the things pronounce it Eunice. And I am persuaded that it's in you also, in you too. We're celebrating Mother's Day today. And this has to do with mothers. But it has to do with something that God passed on to someone through grandmother and mother. Now, the Bible tells us, you know, that we are to honor father and mother. And Ephesians says that that commandment comes with a promise. That if you do, it'll go well with you. And you'll live long on the earth. That's pretty big. Right? It going well with you and living a long time. Why would that be? Well, because honor has to do with what you value, how you esteem, how you see something or someone, how you talk about them, refer to them, treat them, handle them. It's about, you know, we would call it respect, but it's more than that. And God intended that every tiny infant, even before birth, and then especially after, begin to learn about God through godly parents. Now, that obviously hadn't always been the case, but that's His will. That's His plan. And God's perfect will would be for little ones to learn how to honor God by first honoring mother and father, and to learn about God through godly mothers and fathers.
Amen.
And to learn about how to live by faith and please God by watching godly mothers and fathers do that.
Amen.
Watching them walk with God, pray, praise and worship, put God first, go to church, sow, tithe, honor God, minister and help people, help the church, help preach the gospel, help people in need. Little ones are to learn by watching and hearing and then imitating and doing. That's how they learn the language. Right? Yeah. They didn't, you know, little ones, one-year-olds, two-year-olds, and they didn't take a course in English. They didn't learn about, you know, nouns and verbs and sentence construction. They heard people that they were around.
That's right.
And who are they around the most early on? Be their mother and their father, and maybe their grandparents and other children and siblings. But they hear them say things, and then they imitate them.
Right.
They see them do things, and so then they imitate them.
That's right.
Right? Well, and that's just natural, and that's normal and good. But what one of the big things that should happen is they should see faith.
That's right.
They should hear faith.
Yes.
In mama and daddy, and in their siblings, and their grandparents, and uncles and aunts, and in the people they go to church with, and they should hear godly prayer. They should see and hear faith, praise, and worship. They should see walking in love. They should see these things so that they learn and imitate that.
Amen.
And become that.
Right.
True?
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying here to Timothy. Now, Timothy is a big name in the New Testament. He was Paul's protege. He was his understudy. And but God started getting him ready long before he met Paul.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Who?
Grandma.
Mama.
Right.
Granny.
Yeah.
Right? And Mama.
Yeah.
Mother. Mom. What? He was learning about faith in God before he could tie his sandals.
Amen.
Right? Right? That's what he said. He said this faith, and he said, notice he mentioned a descriptor, unfeigned faith. Well, un means not feigned. Feign means to pretend. So the faith they had was the real deal. No article, pretend or religious article, but the real thing. Genuine faith in his grandmother and in his mother. You can leave no greater inheritance than faith in God.
Hallelujah.
Hmm? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Because this doesn't just apply to one area of your life. This is from the time you open your eyes to the time you lay your head on the pillow. Right? And everything in between, the just shall live by faith. That's everything you do, all the time. And the Spirit of God, through Paul, is bringing up, for us to even talk about today, all these centuries later, and say, that faith got into you by being around them.
That's right.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
That faith got into you. Now, it's not automatic. It doesn't come just by osmosis.
Right. That's right. That's right.
But unless you're exposed to it, you don't know anything about it.
That's right. That's right.
But if you are exposed to it, especially day after day, year after year, and you'll receive it, then the same great thing that's in them and on them gets in you.
Amen.
And can become even greater.
Yes.
Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Philippians, if you'd go there, please, the 4th chapter. You know, I had a similar heritage. My grandmother and my mother had faith. My mother just went home to be with the Lord a month or two ago, whenever it was. But some of you have heard about my grandmother, if you've heard my preaching much. Her name was Sister Lena Pearl Moore. You know, down south we have double names, you know. If one is good, two's better. And my grandmother was the secretary treasurer and Sunday school teacher of the First Pentecostal Church there for, I don't know, 50, 60 years. And anyway, godly woman. God loved God, loved God. Back when she was a young woman, of course, there were a lot of racial divides. And this is the Deep South. And she and African-American folks and Choctaw Indian and other folks working in the cotton fields in central Mississippi, all of them were working there together, got filled with the Holy Spirit out in the cotton field.
Come on, come on now.
And so they couldn't have done this in some of the traditional religion churches, but they had outdoor meetings, and there were people with all different skin tones out there in these meetings, praising and worshiping God beside a big pond where they did their baptisms. And they had a real experience with God. Nobody was making them do this. And so she, that's how she got started in the things of God. Well, this is before I long before I was ever born. But when I was born, I remember such wonderful memories. This reminds me of this, because there was a faith that dwelt in her. It still is. And as a little boy, I remember it. One of my earliest memories. I had on either a diaper or some kind of little short, but I didn't have a shirt on. And it was hot summertime in Mississippi. And I was in my grandma's arms, and we went out to the pear tree. And this pear tree was giant. Of course, when you're this big, everything looks giant too. But it was a big old pear tree, and it was seasoned, and these pears, how many of us understand, ain't nothing like a sun ripened, leave it on the tree till it's done. And so she's feeding me pears. And I remember, I got pear juice all down my, you know, my chest and my stomach, and I don't care. I got pear juice, and I am into these things. And she said this to me. I'm a little guy in her arms. She said, and I don't know, a few years old, whatever. She said, Keithy, she called me. She said, aren't these pears great? Aren't they good and sweet? I went, you know. Something. And she said, God is sweeter than these pears.
Oh, wow.
I thought, he's got to be pretty sweet, you know. But I just ate another pear. But here I am, you know, all these decades later, I'm still talking to you about this. Right? Did this make a mark on me?
Yes, it did.
It did. It did. And my granddad had Hereford cattle. And his prize bull was a great big, you know, Herefords are the reddish color with the big white face and curly hair. And he had this big prize bull. Of course, again, when you're this tall, everything looks giant. And his name was Tom. And he kept him. And I always wanted to go see Tom, but I was too little. But she took me to see him one day. And I remember, we got close. He was like a pet, even though he was giant. And I put my little hand up in the middle of his big head. And he thought you was going to feed him, so he'd come up close to you. And my grandmother said, see how big Tom is? I thought, he's the biggest thing I ever saw in my life. He's gigantic. She said, God is bigger than Tom.
Wow.
I thought, whoa. God's bigger than Tom. But see, that's a faith that was in her. She knew God, right?
That's
right. And that got in me. And there were times I was awakened in our tiny little house where my mother was praying in the spirit. And I'd be awakened in the night. And it wasn't her praying loud that woke me up. It was the presence of God in the bedroom. And I'd just lay there and be quiet. And see, once you experience the presence of God, then you know that for yourself. The rest of your life. But that was through association with people that are in your life that you're connected to. And it was not, it's no accident who is your mother and who is your grandmother. Now, I know that a lot of parents have not done right and have done a lot of wrong things, but God didn't tell you to honor them if they did everything right.
Right.
Or if you think they qualified or not.
That's right.
In honoring them, you honor him.
Right.
And that is the big deal. Can you say amen? Or
amen.
Philippians 4:9, did you find that?
Yes.
Philippians 4:9 says, those things, and this is the Spirit of God through Paul, talking to people that came up under him, got saved up under, in his ministry, but especially all the ministers that came up under him. He said, the things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do it.
Amen.
Do what? Do what, everybody? Do what you learned around me.
Amen.
Do what you heard me say. Do what you saw me do.
Amen.
Is there a connection?
Yes.
An association?
Yes.
Do that, and the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The God of peace.
Yes.
And of course, that includes a whole bunch of things.
Amen.
Whew. Go to Romans, please. The 10th chapter. Romans 10. All these things are connected that we're talking about today. And I'm excited about a furtherance of them. Romans 10 and verse 11. It says, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. You could also say, won't be disappointed. Won't be let down. Keep going. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Rich. I did a message on rich one time. And just using scriptures like this. And when I left the service, there was a guy waiting on me in the parking lot. And he was mad. Oh, he was mad. And he said, that ain't right. That ain't right. That rich stuff. That rich stuff. I said, which scripture are you talking about? I think that made him madder. I said, brother, I said, this is a scripture. Right? Rich is God's idea. Did I lose somebody? Huh? He gives us
richly
all things to enjoy. He's rich in mercy. He's rich to all that call on him. They don't get any more rich than God. I know it's a four-letter word, but it's a good word. It's a God word. Now, you can get mad about it if you want to, but... And, of course, all these years later, I'm still preaching about it. He said, verse 13, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, notice these next verses. How, then, shall they call in him, in whom, call on him in whom they have not believed? Give me the answer to this, everybody. Now, we're talking about salvation. That's what he mentioned twice, being saved. And being saved is the big word, sozo. We're not just saved from hell. We're saved from the curse of the law. We're saved from all kind of things. But you won't be saved unless you call on the Lord. See, back up to the previous verse, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Right.
Whoever, doesn't matter where you're from,
That's right.
Who you are, who your people are, if you would genuinely rise up in faith and call on the Lord, call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved.
Amen.
Anywhere, anybody. But will you call on the Lord and be saved if you haven't heard about him or believed in him, I should say? No, you will not. Why? You cannot. You cannot. That's why God has ordained and chosen that human beings be saved by what the world calls the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
And that is the Great Commission.
Hallelujah.
Go into all the world and what?
Preach.
Not feed people.
Amen.
Not clothe people.
No.
Not build housing.
No.
Huh? Now those things are good. But God never intended that one group of people be dependent on another group of people.
Amen.
Everybody can look to God for themselves.
Hallelujah.
Is that right?
Yes.
And the greatest need of man, human beings, is not natural.
Right.
It's spiritual. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul,
That's right.
What have you done? It's great to help people materially and naturally, but that's not the main thing they need. That's not what will save. What will save is faith in the gospel and calling on Him and receiving Him. But they won't call on Him in whom they've not believed. And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? What's the answer? Are you going to believe something you've never heard?
No.
So there had to be somebody that would tell it, that would declare it, that would preach it, that would teach it, so you could hear it, so you could believe it. And if you were never around anybody that preached it, you could never believe for it. Is this big? And how will they hear without a preacher? What's the answer? They can't. They won't. Now see, a lot of preachers are despised. Especially by people, you know, that consider themselves intelligent with higher education and what have you. They think that, you know, religion is just an emotional crutch for poor, ignorant people that don't know the difference. And so they think everything, every dollar spent on a building or, you know, services or meetings or broadcast or especially a plane or anything like that is a complete, total waste, because it should be used in helping somebody's physical, material need. But that's acting like there's no God.
Right.
And that's acting like you don't need to be saved. And that's acting like the gospel doesn't matter. Preachers are important.
Yes, they are.
Right?
Yes,
sir. Why? Tell me why they're important. Because you can't believe unless and until you hear.
Amen.
And you won't hear unless somebody preaches it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So get me a preacher.
Yes,
sir. Is that right? Amen. Get me a preacher quick. Right? Because we can't even get this thing moving. Right? We can't even get started. Until we start hearing something and start believing it and start acting on it. There will be no answers. There will be no miracles. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And that's sent by God. And it's also sent by the people that are raised up to send. Hallelujah. I won't name the country, but so it was in this slide that you just saw a while back. And we flew in there, and they came and picked us up. And they had two new vehicles. And they said, "Did you see our new vehicles?" We thought, wow, they're nice. They're brand spanking new. And this was a breakthrough, because in their area and their country, nobody else believed that you should have anything nice in the church except them and what they were preaching. And they had been hooked with us for years, and they believed it, and they got stirred up. And just like we're talking here today, when we showed up, they said, "We got it." And I kind of had to, we kind of had to hold on, didn't we, Mike? We kind of had to hold on because they wanted to show us how fast they would go. And buddy, we ripped down the road. They said, you know, they had the big motor, and they said, "Wow, look," you know. And we thought, well, won't you get a ticket? And they're like, "Oh, they don't care." But they were using these vehicles to go and have crusades with.
Yes.
As well as pick us up. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? But see, they didn't believe that until they heard it. They didn't have it until they acted on it. And they didn't act on it until they believed it. And they didn't believe it till they heard it. And they didn't hear it till somebody preached it. Oh, somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Go to Hebrews 13. I may need a couple extra minutes today. Do you have a few extra minutes? Hebrews 13. This is big. He said that genuine, unfeigned faith that's in you, Timothy, that was in your grandmother. That was in your mother. That influenced you from the time you were a little baby. And it's in you too now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did he hear some things around that house growing up?
Yes, he
did. Did he hear about God?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Yes.
And it got in him. Now, he's helping Paul. Woo! Isn't that great? He's helping Paul. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who've spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow." You know, Paul said that a number of times. Follow me as I follow the Christ. Be followers together with me, followers of God. It said, follow their faith, considering the end of their conversation. Now, this is very important here. This is not following their teaching, or their teaching on faith per se. This is following the life of faith, looking at what it produced, looking at what came out of it. Conversation is your manner of life. Verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Why bring that up now in the middle of this? Because you'll see the same characteristics in godly leaders that are right. They don't change. They don't waver. They're not up. They're not down. They're not changing what they preach, what they believe every other month. They're consistent. They're stable. Keep going, verse 9. Don't be carried about with different and strange doctrines. See, that's changing things up. It's a good thing the heart be established with grace, not with foods that have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Another translation of verse 7 said, considering the end of their conversation, follow their faith. Consider the income. The outcome, I should say. The outcome. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. These associations. Go to Genesis. Genesis 12. He said, Paul said, what you've heard and seen, learned in me, you do that. Do that. And the God of peace will be with you. In Genesis 12. Verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land I will show you, and I'll make of you a great nation and bless you and make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. Verse 4. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Lot went with him, which was his brother's boy. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Chapter 13. Let me see. Look at verse 4. 13:4. No, let's see, for time's sake. Back up to verse 1. I'm moving too quick. Abraham, he went up with all that he had, his wife, and he had stuff. Anybody remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting there. verse 2, Abram was very rich. Oh, there's that word again. There it is. Who made him that way?
God.
When did God change?
Never.
And say, you know, I don't like that anymore. We did that, but we're doing a new thing now. It's called poor. Well, who changed it then?
Man.
Who changed it? man's religion.
Yes, sir.
Abram was very rich. And in case you got carried away, well, he was rich spiritually. Well, he was. But he also had money. He was very rich in cows and silver and gold. Is that right?
Yes.
And verse 5, and Lot also. Lot also, which went with Abram. He had flocks and herds
and tents.
And tents. How many understand how significant the language is here? What's it telling you? Lot had the same thing Abraham had. But why? Because he was with Abram. Right? Because he was with him. So how did this happen? Well, when they left, when God told Abram to leave, he left and Lot went with him. One of the best moves he ever made. And of course, Abram allowed him to go. And God had pronounced this astonishing blessing on Abram. And everything he put his hand to just multiplied and prospered. And every cow deal he did made money hand over fist. Goat deals, sheep deals, camel deals, grain deals. We got money coming in from every side. And this thing is just compounding. And he must have gave a Lot some starter money. Or back then, you know, livestock was currency too. So he gave him some starter cows, some starter sheep, some starter goats, starter donkeys. And so then Lot follows him around and he says, hey, I'm going to the cow sale today. You want to go? Oh, yeah. And he watched how Abram did it. And he watched how he negotiated. And he watched how he prayed and waited on God till he got the answer. Then he watched how he didn't do what the Lord told him not to do. And the next thing you know, what's the next verse say? They got so many cows, the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. Their substance was so great, they couldn't dwell together. And what happened later was the biggest mistake Lot ever made. Because Abram came to Lot and said, we can't have this strife. We're not going to have it. So you tell me what you want to do. And you want to go this way, I'll go that way. Well, he's the elder. Right. It should be his right to choose. Yeah. But that's how faith people are. They're not afraid. They know God will take care of them no matter what. And Lot, to his detriment, he chose the best. He chose the water. He chose the pastures. And he separated from Abram. And that was the beginning of his complete destruction and downfall. And what you'll find, it wasn't the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah that destroyed Lot and his family. It was their separation from Abram.
That's right.
Come on, can you see that? It was their separation. Why? Because, see, it's easy to forget, too. When the Lord has blessed you and you're doing pretty well, and you get to thinking, well, I don't need them anymore. Worst mistake he ever made was unhooking. But this plane deal. I was down at Brother Kenneth Copeland's ministry, what was this, a few weeks ago, some things we were doing. And I knew this thing was happening. It hadn't happened yet, but I was confident that it would. And it came up in my heart, and I was able to tell him personally. I said, sir, 20 years ago, was this 05 or 06, whatever that is. Yeah, almost. Well, it's longer than that, right? So you paid cash for a new jet 20 years ago. Brother Copeland, their ministry, some of you that are partners, the Citation 10 team, y'all remember that? And they believed for it for years. and didn't borrow and just waited till they had it. And then we went with them to the service center to look at one of them where they made them. And this one was a demo. It had all the bells and whistles. And a month or so after that, they had some more come in, and they paid for that thing. Didn't go in debt for it. Didn't trade it, just paid for it and brought it home. And we saw that. And it made a mark on us. Right? And it seemed like impossible that we would do something like that. But what, a couple of months ago, Jesse Duplantis, Jesse and Kathy, they paid cash for one. Just about that same amount. Well, see, they saw it too. They saw the same thing we saw. Right? 20 years ago. And this past Wednesday. Faith Life Church and us, we our ministries paid cash for one of these, just about the same amount as 20 years ago. And Phyllis and I, one night this week, we were talking about this, and we said, well, you know, could this have happened if we had never seen that or heard these things? And the Lord brought this passage, Romans 10, that I just read to you. How will they believe? It's something they hadn't heard. So no, you would not. You would not. You would not. And so we've been around them. We were around the Hagans. Brother Kenneth Hagin Sr. and Miss Aretha Hagin, you heard Phyllis talking about, for 20 years. And he taught on faith. And traveled and ministered to ministers. And had strong ministry tools and resources, and now we teach on faith. Amen. Are y'all with me? I'm not saying as good as he did, but I'm saying we teach on faith, and we're reaching people with the faith school and that kind of thing. Can you see what I'm talking about? Yes. He did it. We were with them. Now we're doing it.
Yes.
We were around the Copelands, and back, 30 years ago, he had us come and do TV with him in their studio. We had never done that. Didn't have a clue what you were supposed to do, what you were supposed to look like or act like.
Right.
But I watched him real close.
Yeah.
And he gave us pointers and showed us what to do. And we ministered with them for years. And they had TV studios and they had outreach and they had broadcasts and they had aircraft and they traveled the world and they did crusades. Now, 30 years from now, we got TV studio, we got broadcast, we got aircraft that are paid. Come on, can you see that? Does it matter who you're around and what you're watching and what you're listening to? Whew. Now, I'm not claiming we're on the level they're on. I'm not saying that. But back then, we had none of that. And now we got several of the same things. That's God. I said, that's God. That's the goodness of God. It matters so much who you're around, what you're seeing, what you're hearing. That's what he said about his mother and his grandmother. He said that faith is in them. It's in you. It got in you. Hallelujah. Abraham had the blessing of God on him. Next thing you know, he's rich. He's got cows, he's got goats, he's got sheep, he's got camels, he's got silver, he's got gold. He's got hundreds of people to help him take care of it. And you turn around, and next thing you know, Lot. Lot? Who's Lot? Somebody that hung out with Abram. Lot's got cows, and she got the same thing. Is there a connection? Association connection? Where increase comes to pass. Now, I got just another thing to talk about in connection with this. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 1. The Bible says, Romans 12, 15, you're going to Matthew, but Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with them that rejoice. Why is that important? And what if you don't? Does it make any difference?
Yes, it does.
Matthew 7, are you there? Verse 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. Next verse. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Most people don't believe this. And I said, why do you say that, Brother Keith? It's obvious. Because they keep judging other folks. They don't believe. Romans 2 says this exactly. If you judge somebody else, you just judged yourself. Most people don't believe that. But Jesus said it as clearly as you can say it. That's why he started out by saying, do not judge. Don't. Why? Because with whatever judgment you judge, that's how you are going to be judged. And with whatever measure you meet to it, that's how it's going to be measured to you again. What does that mean? Well, I mentioned our association, for instance, with the Copelands and aircraft. They've been sharply criticized for that. They endured a lot of persecution about those things for decades. But when we saw it and we heard it, we didn't judge it as wrong. You can judge it as, well, okay, that's okay for them, but we'll never be there. Well, see, you judged it too much for you.
Right, that's good.
So you won't have it. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, that's just wrong. Do you know what they could do with all that money? Well, what you just did, you won't keep them from getting it, but you will keep you from getting it. You just judged yourself. Now, in Acts 13, verse 44, is it important how you judge somebody else's benefit?
Yes.
Somebody else's blessing?
Yes.
It's, you want to say more than important. It's life and death. It's either expanding your future or limiting you. Everybody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
With those that rejoice.
Rejoice.
I know Phyllis and I had been in the ministry for, I don't know, 5 years or so. And our little cars were junky. And we were able to trade and get it was a used car. Had some miles on it. But it was a nice car. It was a Oldsmobile. Actually, they don't even make those anymore, do they? Toronado. Black and silver with wire wheels. It was happening, brother. And Phyllis and I were so glad to get it. I drove it to school where I was teaching and ministering and healing school. And some of our staff saw it and they came out and they said, oh, wow, this is your car. Yeah, we just got it. And one guy, he jumped up and said, woo, glory to God. And he took off and he ran. And he ran around the car and he said, he ran around the car. I mean, he shouted a lot more than we did. And he stopped and he said, Brother Keith, you may wonder why I'm so excited. He said, you got started in this ahead of me and been going before me, but I'm in the same blessing line. I'm coming right behind you.
Same blessing line.
Was he rejoicing
yes.
with us? And how is he judging it? Is he judging it too much for him?
No.
Or too much for us?
No.
Because ever how you judge it, that's how you will be judged. See, you can't say, point at somebody and go, that's just disgusting. That just makes me sick. Well, then you can never have anything like that or of that caliber unless you are a big old hypocrite.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. That's right.
You can't. So the right response is, if it's good in any way, if it's nice, right? You go, hallelujah, praise God for you. Acts 13, this is true with ministry. This is true with anything. Paul and his company went and preached and in the synagogues. And I mean, it was groundbreaking. It was the first time a lot of these people had ever heard about Jesus. And so you could, there would have been some tense moments in there first time around. But they made it through. People kind of warmed up. And they said, we want to hear more about this. And man, the word got all over town. And the Bible said next Sabbath day, almost the whole city showed up to hear Paul preach. Verse 44. 13:44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Now let me just stop right there. Is this something everybody should be shouting about?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
But when the Jews saw the multitudes, the crowds, they were filled with envy and did what?
Spoke
against it. Is this one of the biggest mistakes of their life?
Yes.
Will speaking against it stop the gospel and stop Paul and stop his ministry? What will it stop?
Them.
It will prevent them from ever having meetings like this or crowds or attendance like this. Do you see why the master said, don't judge so you won't be judged? See, they had been there, some of them, all their life. They never seen a crowd a fraction of this size. The city never got that excited about them. And it made them mad. And they went into comparison. Of course, they didn't realize they're comparing themselves to one of the most anointed ministers that there'll ever be in any generation. They would have been thrilled that he was there. Right in their city. But they weren't. They were filled with envy. They spoke against those things spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. And they said, well, it was necessary that the word of God could be first spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, and you what?
Judge
who? See, they thought they were judging Paul. Come on, can you see this? They thought they were judging them. He said, no, you just judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life. See, you can't speak against the gospel and be born again by the gospel. You either believe it or you don't. You either want it or you don't. He said, since you put it from you, you reject it, and you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we're going to go to somebody that wants to hear it. We're going to the Gentiles. They'll hear it. They'll accept it. And that's the way it is with all of the good news. There are people who scoff, who mock, who judge, who criticize, who said, that just makes me sick. And the sad thing is, they won't stop us or people like us, but they'll never have it. They'll never have anything close to it. And it's not because God didn't want them to have it. It's because they judge somebody else and judge themselves unworthy. By the grace of God, I'm not going to do that. How about you? Everybody stand up with me. Let's pray a prayer. And let's be open for more. Can it get too big for God? What's a big building to God? Huh? He creates stars. What's a TV budget to God? What's an airplane to God? Or a ship or a freight train. Tiny, tiny, tiny stuff. But if it's too big for you, and you think it's too big for someone else, then it is too big for you. Say it out loud, Father God.
Father God,
I love you.
I thank you
for your goodness,
for your mercy,
for your kindness.
Oh,
how big you are.
Oh,
how great you are.
Oh,
how good you are.
Truly,
You are able to do exceeding abundantly above anything, everything, all that we ever thought or asked, according to the mighty power of the greater one working inside us. Forgive us, Lord, for ever judging negatively anyone else's benefit, our progress, our increase, our blessing. We say nothing's too big for you. Nothing's too good, too much, too great for the gospel, for your people, your ministries, your things. It's the most important thing happening. And we purpose. Alert us. Help us to be aware and think right and see right. And we purpose to rejoice with those who rejoice. To be glad in the blessing on our brothers and our sisters. To rejoice in every good thing, in every big thing, in every great thing, and to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.